I don't know about you, but I'm ready for some tagliadelle in my belly with a side of Real Housewives of New Jersey. Getting ready to start right now.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Drop a rush to get the lens rock.
Wait a minute.
Got the window down, top blown lock.
Wait a minute.
Got the hazard on the doom fly.
Wait a minute.
You could catch me, Ree, in the new LaFerrari. And the truck behind me got arms. Yeah, longer than LeBron. Just waiting for my thumb like the Fonz.
Welcome. Welcome to another episode of AfterBuzz TV with Real Housewives of New Jersey, Season 8, Episode 5. That's a little bit of Nerd and Rihanna right there. I'm your boy DJ Richie Sky. We're about to go in. Guess who we got in the house with us tonight? Hey,
Russell Bravo.
Hey, it's Richie and Russell Bravo. We're going to give it to you like only we can. Let's dive right on into this episode, shall we? Because we got a lot to cover. I got a lot of notes here. Barely able to watch the episode because I'm taking notes.
I know. That's the hardest part.
So we start off with Marge. She's back from her her trip to Vegas. She's doing some shoe licensing, we discover, because she's going to have a shoe line and she wants it to be luxury for less. And Marge, I'm here for it. Okay? I'm here for it. We all love a little, you know, dope, inexpensive shoe.
I know that's right.
We also learned that Joe has been calling her 100 times per day while she's gone, and he's a what'd she call him? A
stage five clinger.
That's what I'm talking about right there. I mean, you know, the great thing about her man being clingy is that she doesn't seem to mind it. Now, I don't know about y'all, but I would. Like, don't be too clingy. I need you to be obsessed with me. But, like, don't, I mean, really, I do. But don't be too clingy. Does that make sense?
Yes.
You know, show me you're obsessed, but in moderation.
Like, when we're out at the club, like, eye contact and, like, the whole, you're just into each other. Like,
exactly.
No one else is in the room.
Exactly.
But when I'm in a room with someone else, not in a shady way.
Okay.
Ooh. I'm just kidding. But like when I'm with people, don't be hitting me up every 5 seconds.
Okay, like
I'm
my
doing
thing
me.
Is, right.
Yeah.
Don't call me at all, actually, unless it's an emergency, because I hate talking on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
But that's that.
It comes down to like when my business teacher in college told me this. She goes, people have cell phones now, and she's like, people, you know, if you pick up the phone and no one calls each other anymore. But if you call me, it's like, why are you calling me? You just need to text me.
Exactly.
And then put the phone down. I was cracking
it's
up because
it's so much easier. And I got to talk to you. And I got to stop everything that I'm doing in order to have this conversation with you that we probably could have had via text message. I don't get it. And I feel like Marge Sr. wouldn't like that either. Anyway, but that's just my guess. You know who I like and who I'm in love with? I'm in love with Jody. Jody is Marge's salesperson, and Marge's salesperson, basically, I'm assuming she's the person that goes to all of the retail stores and, you know, either pitches or sells Margaret's her goods from China, as we learn that they're from later. But I'm assuming that that's what she does. But I like Jody because Jody is messy.
I think they're all kind of messy. Margaret's kind of messy too.
Margaret's got a little bit of mess with her, but I'm kind of like here for Jody even more.
Yeah.
And I would actually love for Jody to become a cast member next season.
Okay.
Ooh. That's just me.
Andy, we're talking to you.
Okay. Because, you know, she essentially explains to Margaret what happened at Siggy's pocketbook party from the week before. And, you know, she basically relays all the drama that went down from Siggy falling out on the floor to yelling at all of her friends to Dolores and Siggy yelling at Danielle. So, you know, Margaret is just here for the drama.
That's embarrassing. And I don't know how I would feel. Like,
how do you mean?
About the whole situation with Siggy laying on the floor, calling out Melissa, just continuously going for it. And you know it's going to get around. Like, here's my thought on this, is what is your point?
Well, I think what I'm discovering is that every episode, we're going to be treated to a Siggy meltdown. And that just happened to be last week's episode, because we have one to look forward to in a bit. I'm going to come back to Melissa on that topic in just a second, because we do circle back to that a little bit. Shout out to everybody who's listening on our podcast. Thank you guys for joining us. We love you. We love you. We love you. And for everybody who's in the live chat.
Yes.
We love you guys just as well. And thank you for tuning in every week. Cue the Housewives music, because it wouldn't be a Housewives episode without the obligatory Housewives music that we've all come to know and love. And we get to Dolores' house, and we get to see Frank and Frank showing off their muscles, both of them fixing the smallest table I've ever seen. Why both of them need to be doing that, I have no clue.
Because it made them
They are
bigger.
Completely bigger than the table. Yep. Like, I just don't get it. But whatever. Interestingly, you know, here's a couple of things. Apparently, Frank asked Frankie how he feels about him, how people are feeling about him being back in the mix.
Mm-hmm.
And Frankie basically expresses to him that people think that him and Dolores are swingers. and I'm beginning to think so too, because as we learned that when Dolores comes home, Dolores's man has sent a care package, i.e. food, from their date home to Frank and Frankie. Now, what in the Michael Jackson is going on with this?
I'm here for it.
What?
You want to know why? Here's the thing.
Please tell me. I know that you like to live in dysfunction, so please explain to me what is going on.
Okay. It just works.
Does it?
It just works. And I think if the world was more... Why does divorces always have to be ugly? You're like, why can't you just go back? And I'm really not a huge fan of being friends with someone who you've had sexual intimacy with. You went through such a marriage. You went through a marriage and you have kids together. And why can't you be cool?
Listen.
You know what I mean?
Here's the thing. I don't know about y'all, but... We can be cool, you could be cool with your ex. Y'all could be fine and happy. I would prefer it, because I don't want no problems.
Yeah.
But this is the last thing that I'm about to do, is date you and take care of another man, too. I'm not going to do that. And he's not your child, either. You know, I might send some home to some food home to Frankie, but clearly he eating. So I just don't get it. Like... That's a little much for me.
But maybe you're looking at it wrong. Maybe
I'm looking. His name's David, I must right? be looking at it. That is David.
So yeah. David, maybe David feels like such the man.
I mean, that must be a big old power play right, like, there, because I don't get that.
Here's the leftovers from dinner. We got you a little something too.
Well, actually, he might need it, because if Frank had to move back into the house, because you couldn't find any place else to go.
Yeah.
Like, as a man, I got to find my own spot. Like, I'm not going to move back in with my ex-wife and her son, and our son.
Yeah.
Unless we're getting back together.
I don't know about moving back, but, like, if you had lived in the
maybe
same
maybe down
house,
the street, because I want to be close to my son. But
if you lived in the house and then you freshly went through the divorce and it ended cordially and you were just kind of trying to figure out the next step after everything, the dust had settled, that would be one thing. But they were already divorced and now he's moving back. Which brings me to my next point.
I'm glad you're going to bring that up.
She didn't know how she would feel if he got married, because that was the first love of her life. And that one kind of threw... I was like, wait a minute.
See, you are further proving my point, because that's where I was going to go next.
Yes.
My thought is, okay, we could talk about being a progressive situation all we want to, but... I would almost have rolled with you on that conversation, but then she said that.
Yeah.
So I was kind of like, okay, girl, you said you and David are progressing, but you called Frank the love of your life. So I don't know how I would feel about that.
Yeah. That would upset me. I'd be like, so am I not the love of your life?
Like, what's up, homie? Like, who do you want? Like, who do you really want? Because at a certain point in time, it's got to be some boundaries drawn. And that's all I'm saying.
Yeah,
I'm
not
saying
I get don't boundaries be cool. Thing.
I'm saying put some boundaries down, girl.
I get the boundaries thing. And that kind of, that bugged me when she said that.
I didn't think... it's just telling to me. Like, I like Dolores because I feel like there's something I like about her. But I feel like This is some weirdness. So she needs to figure this stuff out. Anyway, she tells Frank about the whole situation with Danielle and Teresa. And she's kind of like, how dare Teresa, you know, not believe or question me? And, you know, Frank urges her to give her some slack. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a good way to look at it.
You know what? Dolores she's a mess right now. With her loyalty, with her girl code, just absolutely. In general, you cannot disregard the things that Siggy said in Boca and then come back at a dinner conversation with Danielle and all the other girls and happen to just remember everything that was said. But you forgot something so simple as the fact that Siggy was attacking the girls in Boca.
Absolutely.
And she was the sole person speaking. Absolutely. In the secondary conversation with Danielle and the argument that happened, everyone was contributing to this conversation. There was a lot going on. Absolutely. So how did you remember every single aspect of that? That's my issue with Dolores.
I totally 110% agree with you on that. I feel like, I don't understand her version of loyalty. I get being, you know, attaching yourself to somebody and having their back, but it's just the time period that I'm conflicted with. Like, somebody you've known for 20 years and you've invested that much time and energy into, the moment that person is then attacked by somebody you've only known for a year, you take that person's side. I don't know what kind of loyalty that is.
I think my main question for...
Selective loyalty?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
That's
fine. My main question... Though what Teresa needs to ask is if she was at Danielle's house. Because if you don't like Danielle all that much, why would you go to her house? Even if your man or your boyfriend or whoever is asking her husband a business, you know, business insight and
exactly.
X, Y, and Z, why would you even have to go with him? They're two men having a conversation.
I'm so glad you're on the case, Sherlock, because I didn't even think about that. I mean... Here's the thing. I've read Danielle's blog. I watched her on Watch What Happens Live. I've read everything that she's had to say about it. And she describes in detail how Dolores came to visit her and to get some type of help for her son for college. Mm-hmm. So apparently, I believe that happened.
Yeah.
I absolutely 110% believe that happened. And I believe it was probably filmed.
Yeah.
Now, how Dolores delivered that information... I don't know if she delivered it with the same intent, mm-hmm. but she should have explained exactly what happened.
Yeah.
Versus blowing up, which makes you seem guilty.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? Like, because I feel like if I'm not guilty of something and you accuse me of something and I know it's not true, then I'm just going to be like, that's not true.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to even like blow a gasket about it because I don't have anything to explain because... I feel like people who lied have to do a lot to lie.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like she just did a lot.
But not only that, but if you don't trust this woman and you
why
don't...
Why are you at her house?
Why are you at her house asking for any kind of advice? Okay. Find somebody else. There's 101 other people you can probably go to that will give you the same advice.
How about those advisors that were doing his applications for him?
Yeah. Thank you. That part.
Okay. So then I just got to move on.
I know, we're going to pour Dolores. We're going to tear... I'm sorry, Dolores. We're going to tear you apart.
Completely tonight.
Yep.
I just... You know, again, I like Dolores. I don't like her actions. So, we'll stay like that way.
Okay.
We get to Gorga's homemade pasta and pizza.
Yep.
And we discovered that the place looks great. There are pictures of the family. There are pictures of, you know, everyone, both... The husbands and Melissa arrives, and suddenly Teresa has an issue with the fact that there's a picture that Joe Gorga picked out mm-hmm. of him and Melissa, but Melissa's face is showing, and apparently her mouth looks big, according to Teresa.
That was petty.
And it was super petty.
Petty wop.
And Joe Gorga's face was covered like this. I thought it was great, actually.
I thought it was cute.
It did highlight Melissa, fun. But I felt like it didn't distract from him. There was something about the photo that would just, it was kind of balanced to me.
Yeah, everyone knew who he was. Yeah, you know who he is. You're at his restaurant.
Come on now.
Like, it's just showcasing his personality. Like, oh my God, my wife's a mess. Like, what are these women talking? You know what I mean?
Right, exactly.
That's what it comes down to.
It was a hot photo.
Teresa was just being Patti LaBelle inside the restaurant.
She was, because she's still mad. She's still carrying this burden of a grudge.
Catch the steal.
About Melissa commenting about her parenting. Again, well, we'll get to that in a second, but she's still mad about that. She's still salty, like those crab cakes.
And then she goes in, she just goes in to pick at the fact that she's Gorga by injection.
I know, you know, the moment she said that, I feel like, again, I feel like Melissa sometimes doesn't react at that moment like I would like her to.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad she walked out, because I felt like I would have walked out too. But I just feel like I would have blown up at that point. Yep. Just like, that's just kind of like...
That was below the belt. Way below the belt.
And then she mentioned, well, you know, if you get divorced, you won't be a Gorga anymore. And I'm like, okay, in my mind, you know, here's the thing. You got a husband that's in prison for a long time. The question is, will you be married?
Yep.
That's really, I mean, you should be more worried about that situation and less concerned about whether or not they get a divorce. Like, I just felt like it was unnecessary. But okay, whatever.
There's so many things that Melissa could have came back with, and she decided not to.
And I'm sure she pulls her punches.
She could have said, my marriage, at least we're in the same house. At least, at least we're underneath the same roof.
Okay. Like, I just was, you know, I don't know.
And she's like, I'm just playing. You don't play like that.
Like, you can't play like that low. You know what I'm saying? You can dodge and weave, but you can't go, you know, for the ankles.
Teresa!
I know.
I just want to hug you.
I know. You know who doesn't want to hug her is Gia, because they are going shopping for Puerto Rico. And, you know, Teresa wants Gia to get a bathing suit that shows off her ass, apparently.
Yep.
And we know this because Gia says she doesn't want to show off her ass. And the reason I'm saying ass so many times is because I'm shocked that Gia said it.
Yep.
And I'm thinking to myself, how old is she?
She's older than my niece. She just started high school.
And how is it that Teresa's then able to repeat the same word to her? My mind was just kind of racing here.
Yeah.
Do people, like, do it a little different in Jersey? Like, can somebody from Jersey chime in? I just want to know. Because had I said that, my mouth would be on the floor.
Yep.
Okay, like, literally, I would be picking it up off the floor. I was like, oh my God. And why on earth does Teresa even want her to show it?
Yep. I would have torn my niece, or, well, I mean, she obviously didn't want it, but I would have torn my sister apart if she would have told my niece to get a bathing suit like that.
Okay.
And then I'm half Sicilian. So my whole family would have chimed in, and then we all would have tore my sister apart at the same time. Because when one person's involved, everybody's involved. But
this just goes back to Gia's point and Melissa's point that, you know, because Teresa actually mentions Melissa saying that, you know, she's too lenient with the kids.
Yeah.
And Gia pretty much tells her like it is. You know, the kids need more discipline. You know, and Gia perceives her as being scared that they're going to hate her, likely from guilt,
mm-hmm.
you know, that she had to go away. And Teresa's like, no, I just want to, you know, lessen the reins with you guys. And it's kind of like, Gia made the best point ever. Like, that's not being a parent, though.
Yeah. Like, she said exactly what Melissa said.
She knows. Gia is to Real Housewives of New Jersey what Vicky's daughter is to Real Housewives of Orange County.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the voice of reason.
Mm-hmm. You took the words out of my mouth, yes.
It is like, okay, she gets it. She gets what parenting is. And it's interesting to me that she said that Joe, their dad, was strict when Teresa was away.
Mm-hmm.
which I found very interesting, but I also found very, like, it gave me some hope for what he might be like when he gets out.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Teresa's really come full circle since she's came out.
Yeah.
So maybe I picture him. Okay, real quick, fun game. Go. What do you picture him to look like when he gets out?
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Arnold Schwarzenegger?
Yeah.
I know. I feel like he's going to be really slim, but like still big arms. Because the drinking's gone, the food's gone. It's all meal prepping. Go to prison, everybody. You'll get meal preps. 3 times a day.
Or
because Teresa came out like yeah,
just cook. How about that?
We all need a little bit of discipline in our life.
Don't go to jail. Stay out of jail, folks. Siggy is having Siggy is having a meeting with her parents. She is upset that Josh doesn't really want to talk to her about, you know, sex with his girlfriend, where he's sleeping at night, and where he's going to go to college. And we get some interesting backstory about Siggy. And what I do love about each of, like, with this show in particular, because I do feel like we're getting some balance with the crazy and then the family, which I kind of like, because if you didn't have the family aspect of Siggy, then I would just consider her absolutely that shit crazy.
Well, her family is very calm. The mom and dad are very reasonable and like just, but then again, she also left. And I'm kind of putting this together now that we're speaking about it out loud, but she's kind of still that high school personality.
Mm,
if that makes sense, because she left her parents at a young age. So therefore, you don't have your parents breathing down your back. Even when you go away to college, you still come home, and if you ain't acting right, or you're acting, you know, the way that they don't feel that they want you to act, they're going to check you. But she didn't have that. She was with family, friends, who in turn helped raise her through her young adult years.
Interesting.
So she might have caught on to their personality traits instead of her mom and dad's, but her mom and dad's very reasonable. I was just like,
I like them a lot.
Girl, where'd you get your personality from? Because that's a lot of personality.
It's a little too much at times.
Which, as strong as she is, there's something that I got to bring up later. Which we'll get to, so go ahead. Continue.
Oh, well, essentially, you know, the parents urge her to let go a little bit. You know, let him go away to school if he wants to go somewhere across the country. And, you know, I agree. I mean, she should let him do what they let her do.
Yeah.
Which is leave Israel, come back to America, and pursue the life she actually wanted. So, we get to Teresa's house, and Melissa and Joe show up, and if you watch this show with the closed caption on, I love at the introduction of every scene, it will tell me exactly what the scene's going to be like, because it will say cheerful music, tense music. So it let me know that this was going to be a tense conversation, because it says cue tense music. Anyway, that's just a fun fact. Try it. You know, they decide that, I don't know why they're going to do this random toast, but for whatever reason, they're doing it. And, you know, I think Joe or Melissa or Teresa says something like, to the Gorgas. And Melissa basically says, no, Gorga. Because she's still salty about the she's still salty crab cakes about the argument from the day before. So at that point, Teresa, being the adult that she is, basically mentions that she is still upset about Melissa commenting on her parenting style. I didn't think that she was commenting specifically on her parenting style. I just took it as she was saying, hey, the kids are, you know, they're taking advantage of you.
Yeah.
Like, you may want to, like, just be a little strict with them. And, you know, Joe backs Melissa up 110%.
Props to Joe for that.
Props to him for that. I was very, very, very proud that he did that. And Melissa didn't back down either. She was like, no, I'm right.
Yeah, but not only that, Gia said the exact same thing that Melissa said.
Exactly. Why are you still mad?
Yeah. And
as Melissa likes to say, get over it.
Yeah. Teresa is just... Okay, here's the thing, though. Teresa said she went for the kids, and never did I ever think that is it okay to go for the kids? But she didn't go for the kids.
She didn't.
Like
what?
She did not go for the kids. All she said was, you need to be stricter with them. And Teresa's excuse this whole season has been, I'm doing it on my own. I'm doing it on my own. There are single mothers nationwide who do it for their child's lifetime. And they have their kids out of the streets, get them into college, full ride scholarships, sports, the whole nine yards.
There you go.
You are and a privileged individual with four daughters,
mm-hmm.
four gorgeous daughters, and all you have to do is put your hand down or foot down.
There you go. Be the mom.
So the excuses are just, they're getting old now at this episode.
They are. So now we get back to, they're planning for the event, the tasting that Joe wants to have at the restaurant, and, you know, they're asking who's going to be coming, who's invited, and, you know, they tell Joe about Siggy and the party from the night before, or the whenever it happened, but it was prior to. And, you know, Joe essentially calls Melissa a pussy girl. Because she essentially let Siggy dog her in front of this crowd of people. And Melissa's like, if she had done that with me, there would have been a problem, mm-hmm. which I absolutely 110% believe. This is my issue with Melissa, going back to what I was stating prior to. I just feel like she doesn't really like step up, like
defend herself,
go at it with somebody. The only time she did that was at the start of the season when they had dinner after the cake thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I just feel like, you know, I don't know if she's taking the classy girl approach, but I need her to step it up a little bit on that. I really, really, really do. Like, if she had done that to me at her party, like, oh, she would have been laying on the ground for a different reason.
I think I would have been like, I would have took a different approach to it, because I take my aggression out in comedic ways. So if she would have been on her floor laying around like that saying blah, 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 I would have said, oh, girl, you need to get off that floor. We all know you don't clean your floors, you know. And it would have made her feel even worse, you know.
I don't know. I just would have had a reaction. Well, I don't know what that might have been. I never know until it happens, but I just feel like you can't do that. You can't invite me to your house and then
embarrass
try to
me.
Make like embarrass me like that. Yeah. No. Oh my God.
Don't make me the fool of your jokes.
I didn't even have my drink yet.
Yep.
Okay, so anyway, Siggy gets back to Michael Campanelli. Is that his name? I think that's his name.
Yes.
And it's date night / their anniversary / they've been together for 11 years.
Congratulations on 11 years to Siggy, by the way. A lot of people didn't make it that long. So you got a good relationship that's going there.
Yeah,
Siggy.
We are so excited. And you know, so essentially he's asking her to tone down her events.
Yeah.
And she explains to him she wants to do more because the kids are going away to college. Now she wants to do overnight weekend retreats
mm-hmm.
with some woman named Vicky, who I was thinking she was talking about from Orange County at first. But then we later discovered that Vicky's a divorce lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
And they want to help women to get to the next level, whatever level that may be. And she's practically pleading with him to let her do this.
I put that on my notes, too. Why pleading. Is she begging her husband to let her do her
pleading.
Work? And I want to know what the live chat feels about this too. So we'll get to them like later on. But if you have to beg your spouse to do your work, that bugs me. Because she has hustled to where she's got to today. She needs to continue her hustle. And I think if you have a hustle, then you need to pursue it. Don't ask for approval from anybody.
You know, something I want to kind of recognize is that a lot of these women on these shows are entrepreneurs.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I don't know if anybody out there knows what it's like to be an entrepreneur, but I can tell you myself, it is very difficult. It can often be a lonely road. But when you are doing something that you love, you will work your butt off to make it happen.
Yep.
And that's the reason why I feel like this situation is so crazy, is because if she has worked as hard as I think she's worked,
mm-hmm.
he's crazy, insane for trying to have her not do as much anymore.
Yeah. Like, I did not like his approach to when he's like, yeah, and oh, you're really going to go there. And she said twice a month. Twice a month. That's 4 days if you think about it.
And he's over there bristling like he just can't live. But
that would have pushed me on some kind of level that I wouldn't just not been cute with.
Okay. But eventually it seems like he caves, and he didn't exactly say yes, but it seemed like he was giving her the approval that she needed. I just don't like having to get approval from a spouse for something like that.
Yep.
A discussion, yes, because if it's going to impact how the household runs, I get it.
Yeah.
But, you know, the asking permission is what I don't understand.
But she elaborated on everything that's going on, you know. They talked about her son going away to college. And it's like, why are you giving an explanation? Like, my career is taking, or this book or this retreat or whatever is coming to this next level, and this is the next steps that we're going to take.
Exactly.
Now, you're either with it.
Right.
Or you're not with it, and you got to go see somebody about it, but this is what's going to get done. Because this is making us money, and we're going to continue to move this train forward.
That's what I'm talking about. Get into it.
Come on, Siggy.
Now we get to the Marge squad, and they are walking into a meeting with her marketing manager.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm let me tell you something, because I'm an entrepreneur myself, I'm so fascinated all the time when, you know, they're working with their actual businesses. And I'm so glad that this show allows them to actually do that. I don't really consider it product placement. I consider it like, okay, this is benefiting them, and this is what people need to see, these types of things.
Mm-hmm.
There are women and men and children at home who are watching these shows, and they need to see that they can do it themselves. So applause to you, Marge. But they're going into a meeting, and they're discussing the design and production of her shoe line.
Mm-hmm.
And they're looking at samples, and we learn it's going to be a 4-month process. And what'd you think of the shoes? Like, I mean, did you see anything that was like...
They were very... I wanted to see Snooki wear the cheetah print ones with the black jewel in the front, how she wanted it. It's very East Coast style.
It is.
It's not all LA. And LA and San Francisco also have very different styles, distinct assets about them. But I was like, okay, like... It works over there, but in order to see Margaret expand this way and not to be a naysayer, I would like to see more of, like, L.A. trend. But I did overall like it. It's a little funky like she is. You know, she got the pigtails down to the side and the straggly hairs sometimes, and it's cute and it works.
I was wanting to see some pumps or something, Marge. Like, I mean, if you're going to do a shoe, give us a shoe. Like,
yeah.
I want to see, like, I mean, come on now. I know you didn't see Jessica Simpson stuff. Like,
Jessica
put something
Simpson
out there like that. You know what I'm saying?
Doing it.
You got to see what the people want. But then again, maybe the girls like wedges. I don't know.
Yeah, but who I knows? Think, and I'm really going to be choosy with my words, but I think she's catering to
a specific market,
a specific age range.
You know what? And that could be it. I'm going to actually, and we should all do this for next time, this is homework for everybody, research the Macbeth collection so we'll have a better idea of who her market might be.
I love it. Now we're in a Bravo's class.
Okay. But a key note that we learn, and this is going to be important later on, I do believe, is that the factories are in Milan.
Yeah.
So, take that, Siggy.
Genuine Italian.
And that's going to be important later because, as most of you guys know, that's where they go on their cash trip. So I'm assuming it's probably for maybe even Melissa or Margaret to maybe get some stuff for their stores. Who knows?
I just like the fact that she's a total go-getter for the shoe line. She said, we dress you from head to toe, and now we need shoes.
Like, she says, we run your life. That is how you run a business, people.
Yep.
Take heed, okay? So now we get to the Gorgas. And you know what I was missing from this episode? We missed our glamour shots. I didn't see them. And I was like, come on, Bravo. Like, get with it. I mean, like, we could have done this every week. It was dope.
The focus on the hair, the makeup, and the shoes. Here's the thing. Everyone wants to see the shoes. Right?
Margaret, pay attention.
Everyone wants to see the shoes. And I get where Margaret's coming from because she's very affordable, everyday-ish. Kind of thing, and heels technically on an everyday kind of thing, unless
people
you're in
will
front
always
of the camera.
Buy shoes. For those of you who want a business idea, go with shoes.
Yep.
So we get to the Gorgas for the big event, and Teresa arrives. She loves the photos. She just wishes hers showed more boobs. I don't know what the question was, but I love Teresa's answer. It was about Dolores and what she thinks or something like that. And
she
says, maybe Dolores is only going to think whatever Siggy thinks. Teresa is hilarious in her confessionals this season. I don't know if you guys have noticed, but I'm here for her. We see Siggy and Michael. Michael is not really understanding why Siggy's going, but she's going because she wants to be supportive, which is good. Dolores wants to let Teresa know how, you know, she feels about the whole Danielle situation. This is all happening as they're getting ready to go to the event.
I just don't know how I feel about... I'm going to ask her how she's feeling at their food tasting of their brand new restaurant. Like, you can come to my house.
It's interesting to me that they haven't had a dialogue with each other in between those events.
Yeah.
Like some type of sit down.
Or a phone call.
I'm surprised by that. Like, what?
A text message. A tweet. A MySpace.
Okay. Something. Teresa needs advice. You know, Melissa thinks that Danielle is just misunderstood. She doesn't really know what to think. You know, Margaret arrives and she meets Teresa and Joe's dad. And when they met, I'm thinking to myself, he seems so unbothered. But really, my feeling is that he was undressing her with his eyes.
He's always done that. Joe has said that from the very first season that Joe Gorga was on. He said, my father was the stallion and he was the man and he was always getting it with getters with God. And I was like, oh Lord, that's a whole lot of information.
Right?
That's a whole lot of information.
Y'all get it. Y'all feel me. Mm-hmm. Listen, you know, he says, she's blonde on top. I want to see blonde all over. And I'm like...
Bruh, you know what I liked was that Margaret took it with a grain of salt.
You just made my skin crawl a little bit. I mean, it's just like
you went there.
Older people sex.
I mean, if he want to
address
somebody,
not what we really want to be thinking about.
He can address senior.
Yes, that's more appropriate.
And she likes the sex message.
Boom!
You heard it here
now,
first.
That's the couple right there.
You heard it here first.
Siggy arrives and she's oddly nice to everyone, including Margaret, because she's apparently over it at this point.
Yeah.
Like, she's over their beef, and she's making nice. Note, she's over it right now, okay? Because that's going to become an issue later. Then Danielle arrives. Everybody has come with their booze, and they start to serve the food. And this is where, and I wrote it down... I cannot remember the name of that food. I said it earlier. Tagliadelle. Mm. They start serving the Tagliadelle. But before they do that, I want to get to one thing. Teresa asks where Siggy's sidekick is.
Oh my gosh.
Siggy looks between her legs and is like, I don't know. I don't know. I thought that was so hilarious. And then Teresa wants to know why Frank is living with Dolores when she's dating another man, just like we talked about earlier. She wants to know too.
You know what I like is that Margaret defended Dolores. Margaret is just even across the field. Like I said in the very beginning, from the very first time that we talked about her, is she is what she is. You take it or you leave it. So she just calls it what it is. And she said, you know, it works for them.
Well, things fall apart when Danielle arrives and starts asking questions.
Oh, Danielle.
I know. She essentially asks Teresa if she believes her.
Which is awkward, by the way, the way that she asks it.
Very awkward. Like,
do you believe me?
You know...
If I was Teresa, I would say, "Ooh, I gotta go to the restroom."
Right?
Oh my god, Joe! I think something happened with this food. Nope, it ain't sitting right, Joe.
You know, and so this was a hard one because it seems like everybody kind of took Danielle's side,
mm-hmm.
but technically they didn't.
Mm-hmm.
What Margaret said was, "I can't see Danielle lying." Melissa said, Danielle is misunderstood.
Mm-hmm.
Siggy is just not having it at all.
Mm-hmm.
And now she's annoyed. And she's at a level 3 right now. But it's getting to level 5. I see it coming. I see it coming. And, you know, Siggy starts to flip a little bit. And she says something I thought was so interesting because she made this about herself. She says, I'm so much more misunderstood in this group than Danielle. I'm like, how? Yes, you are. Absolutely. I would absolutely agree with that. But how did we get back to you?
Yeah.
I really didn't. This is, to me, is telling. And Marge says this one, which I thought was hilarious. Then Joe makes his speech. Melissa comes around. And, you know, she's. And when I say comes around, she begins to really understand why he did this. And I thought that was a nice little moment.
Yeah.
They serve the food and it looks amazing. It does. I was actually getting hungry as I was watching it. Mm-hmm. Then Siggy suddenly asks if there are any sharp knives available so that they can so she can hand them to Margaret so that Margaret can stab her in the back.
Can continue stabbing her in the back.
Where is this coming from? Did I miss something here?
You know, I need to speak to Siggy. I reached out to Siggy personally, by the way, and she did respond.
Are you serious?
She would be interested in coming onto the show, so we're trying to figure this out. Everybody Yay. Tweet Siggy. But I'm like...
Because I got questions.
I have a lot of questions for her. Is it editing? Is it the way that it's being cut? You know what I mean? Like, do they cut all this to make her look like Steve Irwin when she just, like, has a whole lot of excitement about everything she talks about, whether it's good or bad? Like, I have questions for her. But the whole, like, continue stabbing in the back thing, I think, is that Margaret is yet to stand literally next to her and defend all the, like... I'm going to call it nonsense for lack of words right now in my mind. But to defend all the nonsense that's coming at her. You know what I mean? And Dolores is the kind of person that's going to stand there and deflect everything that is being thrown at Siggy.
Instead of calling it for what it is. It almost seems like you have to be this type of friend in order to Siggy in order for her to consider her your friend. Mm-hmm. Like, you have to tolerate her explosions and her sort of up and down temperament in order to be in her life. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, she doesn't have much use for you.
Yeah.
Like, that's kind of how she's coming across to me, anyway. Mm-hmm.
Which is why we have questions for her. We had a whole lot of questions for her.
Lots of them. Finally, Dolores shows up to tense music. And she didn't speak to Danielle at all. And she gave Margaret a limp handshake, we learn. Not surprising. So the group's kind of split and, you know, there's Siggy and Dolores and Melissa and Joe on one side. And then there's Teresa and Margaret and Danielle on the other side.
Yeah.
And so Joe begins to ask, you know, Dolores about the whole Danielle situation. And Dolores goes off, and she even at one point, I wrote this down, calls Margaret Ellie Mae Clampton.
She did. I was like, no. I said, oh, no, not the Clampins. That was, oh, no. She did go, oh, yeah, she went there.
You know, while I don't like Dolores' choices, she really showed up tonight.
You know what? I will say I gave her credit when she walked in the door. Because I was raised this way, and this is exactly what she did. She walked in, she acknowledged, and she kept it moving.
Right.
But what I did, or I did kind of like it in a shady kind of way, is she walked up to Margaret and she reintroduced herself. She said, "Hi, Margaret, I'm Dolores." She said, "I'm Margaret."
You know what? I thought I heard that.
Yep. I was like, okay, she took Petty Wap to another level, but that's fine. But I did like that she acknowledged and she kept it moving.
Ooh, I'm so going to do that next time I see somebody I don't like.
And the reason I kind of liked it,
myself.
I've seen it done before.
Are you serious?
And I've seen it done before, and my mom's done it. My mom did it one time. This is a quick story because it's a tangent. But my mom did it one time because someone disrespected her. And it wasn't my mom's friend, but it was her friend's friend. And so my mom was introducing her friends to everyone because we were all at a mutual party. And my mom's like, this is so-and-so. I'm not going to say names because they're going to call me out. This is so-and-so, this is so-and-so. And this is, what's your name again? What's this lady's name again? Oh, that's right. And it was petty, but it just works to a certain degree sometimes. So let them know, like, you're irrelevant. Get out of here.
It makes me happy.
You know, so I give Dolores credit for that because... She came in and she did it.
She showed up tonight. We learned that Siggy's not a backdoor girl. Why that's relevant, I have no idea. And so Essentially, Group A, which we're going to call Dolores, Siggy, Melissa, and Joe, they're having a very loud conversation, particularly about Margaret and Danielle. And Margaret really wants to just roll up on the conversation. You know, Danielle's like, I'm not going over there. And Teresa's like, I am. And so, and so she does. So she essentially comes over and she's asking, like, what the deal is, like, why they're kind of attacking Margaret. And her and Dolores kind of go back and forth at it for a couple of seconds before Siggy inserts herself back into the conversation. And, you know, at this point, they're upset about the memorial and not being invited to the memorial when they actually decided themselves to go someplace different.
Yes, it was exactly what I was going to say.
Like, you're still mad about your decision to do something different? Like, get over it.
They isolated themselves from the group. So guess what? Things happen and life keeps moving without you.
Right. If you choose to isolate yourself, then no one is under any obligation to call you about any activities that happen when you've isolated yourself.
Yep.
Peggy. If you watch OC, you'll know what I'm talking about. Let's see. So they're upset about the memorial. Siggy's still not over it. She's crying a little bit. And then they go. This is where I lost a little bit of respect for both Siggy and Dolores, because they went below the belt with her business.
Yeah.
This was the part that I felt like, you know, for Siggy to really talk about empowering and who's the bully here. Like, she's done a lot of promoting on social media about, you know, standing up to bullies. But at the end of the day, I feel like sometimes when a person talks that much about being a bully, they actually become one.
Yes.
And I felt like in that moment, I felt like what they did was to belittle someone's work when Margaret said nothing about theirs. But wait.
There's
Margaret. Margaret did retaliate, because basically what they were talking about was there was Margaret's good being from China, and Siggy asked Dolores if she liked her goods, and Dolores was like, no, I don't like anything that she owns. And so, you know, Margaret clapped back. You know, I think she did it in her confessional, though.
She did.
About Siggy's fake boobs being from China and her hair extensions. So there's that. But I thought that was very low.
She should have came back with the first of all clap back.
Okay.
First of all.
Exactly. Like,
first of all, that implants are from China.
Right.
First of all, so are your extensions.
It was a little messed up. You know.
Yeah, that was out of left field.
So then Siggy's had enough and she decides that she wants to leave, but not before throwing the most immature tantrum I have ever seen outside of Kelly Dodd standing in the restaurant doing this after Shannon. I'm an OC fan, I gotta tell you, but like, I've never seen that happen on a Housewives show where she would do something so... Did you see her behind Margaret's back?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
she was like,
did y'all see that?
Like, I want to turn that into a giphy.
At that point, I think, again, I'm probably not meant to be on a show like that, because I think if I knew that was happening behind my back, I might have turned around and threw my drink at her.
I would turn around and I would have handled it.
Okay. Olivia Pope style. I like that. So everybody decides that, you know, well, Dolores and Siggy decide that they've had enough and they're leaving. But Danielle has one last little trick up her sleeve.
Danielle!
I absolutely lived for this moment, because Danielle asked Dolores, where's your honey at? And she's like, oh, he's at home, or I'm going to see him now, or whatever. I'm surprised Dolores fell for this. Like, this was so easy.
Oh, my gosh.
It was like,
gosh.
Why would you even acknowledge this?
Yeah.
But she fell for it, and she's like, I'm going to go see him now. And Danielle is like,
all of you live together.
All of you live together. All of you live together. Mm-hmm. When do I get to meet the one that's not now? And I'm like,
yep.
I was here for Danielle's mess today.
Yep.
I was here for it, because it was very Dynasty to me. It wasn't not. It was very Dynasty. Like, it wasn't scumbag or you know, calling her a bitch. It wasn't any of that. It was very much like, I got your number.
She played this like in Mean Girls.
She did.
You got to fight in Girl World. So she didn't jump off the table and do anything crazy, but she told him that his hair looks sexy pushback. That's how she handled that. She took care of that. Yeah, she did.
And so Dolores gets all Patterson on her and decides that she's going to roll back into the restaurant and up in Danielle's face. And what I loved is that Danielle did not flinch. Not one bit. Almost unbothered and still asking questions about her. So finally, Teresa pulls them apart, sends Dolores on her way, and Danielle is still talking junk. Like, it was the best. I loved it.
You know, it gets to that point when you do the squinty eyes and you're doing this. Oh, it's about to go down. And I mean, I would have loved to see. I want to see Danielle really defend herself and just really just pop off.
I was excited. Yeah. I loved it. I loved every minute of this episode. What are we thinking about next week?
Okay, so next week, I forgot. There was, like, a really, like, specific point that I wanted to talk about, but I guess we're going to have to find out next week. But I am excited to find out where this goes now with Teresa, Dolores, and the whole Margaret situation.
Yeah, I'm just shocked again that Teresa hasn't had a side conversation that we have seen filmed with Dolores. Because I feel like if they have this 20-year-long friendship, then we need to see them sitting down and talking. But next week, we will be treated to another Margaret and Dolores showdown, which I'm surprised about, actually.
Yeah.
Like, I'm surprised that Dolores is stepping up where I feel like it should be Teresa or Melissa.
Yeah.
But... you know, I feel like I almost feel like Teresa and Melissa feel like Dolores is a lost cause at this point.
You know, I'm not... Dolores, I don't know if I'm here for her right now.
Yeah, I'm not here for her version of loyalty, I'll tell you that much.
I'll tell you, 20 years of friendship, I got 13 under my belt right now with my very best friend, and we have never flipped on each other like that, where, like, we just choose someone else's side.
You better not, or we won't be friends.
Yes.
Like, that's what I know.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe I'm the Siggy in that regard, but I'm not having that.
Dolores, you better get right before you get left.
Okay. Ooh. I like that. And I think we're going to end on that note right there. There is no better way to end this show.
Yes.
I am one of your hosts, DJ Richie Sky. You guys can find me on Instagram and Twitter at DJ Richie Sky.
And I'm your boy, Russell Ray. You can find me all across the internet at Russell Ray Silva.
And that's it for the Bravo Boys here on AfterBuzz TV. Make sure to rate us, give us 5 stars, comment in the live chat. Well, I guess it'll just be on YouTube at this point, but still comment and we'll comment back. Tweet us and continue to rate us.
Yes.
We love you guys, and we'll see you guys next week.
Bye, guys.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.